Okay, so we're still waiting on Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, and we don't like to sound like broken records, at least on this channel. So that means that it's time for something that I think is really interesting, a full 49ers rookie breakdown. Because I think that, and Tim Kawakami pointed this out today, and I've been talking about this draft class now as a whole for the past several days. I thought that he had a really astute point. He said that this is the most instant impact the 49ers have had from a draft class since 2019. That was the Nick Bosa year. That was the Deebo Samuel year. Dre Greenlaw was a fifth-round pick in 2019. Obviously, the 49ers got some good players, and those good players contributed immediately in that season. Well, we're only through two games of the preseason. We have now officially finished covering training camp, but I think we can already say that this class is having an impact. Now, whether or not that impact will carry over to the regular season still remains to be seen. But I think that since we have seen all of training camp, it is a good time for a 49ers rookie breakdown. I have this available for you by popular request. I'm going to put the link to the roster in the live chat section right now. If I remember, and I probably won't, I'll put it into the actual comment section for people who are watching this later. But it is in the chat section. You can click on it right here to follow along while I'm going through this. I'm probably not going to use this particular depth chart as much during this show, but everybody that's highlighted in green is a rookie for the 49ers. So we're going to go through the draft class first, and then we'll talk about some of the undrafted free agents after that. So this is the 49ers full rookie breakdown. Welcome in. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. I guess it helps boost the video. That's what they tell me. I'm no expert in these kind of things, but the channel is growing really fast. We are well past 75,000, the largest channel covering the 49ers here from just a reporter's perspective. Pretty cool since we started late, since we started just a couple seasons ago. So I appreciate all the support. I think that in-depth pieces like this will keep you guys coming. A full breakdown of the 49ers rookie class. Starting with Ricky Pearsall. And we're going to go through the picks in order, right? So Ricky Pearsall was number 31 overall. Obviously got the most hype out of any 49ers draftee because he was a first-rounder. Their first-round pick since Trey Lance in 2021, because they gave up their 2022 and 2023 first round picks in the trade up to grab Trey Lance at that number three overall spot. So far, Ricky Pearsall's a gigantic TBD, to be determined. He's out of practice, did not return this week. That means he's not going to play in the game against the Raiders on Friday with a shoulder injury. Prior to that, there was a hamstring injury. He actually was able to fit. I mean, this is what you call a sandwich, right? There was nothing good with the hamstring injury, nothing good with the shoulder injury. But in the middle of the sandwich, we got to see some good plays from Ricky Pearsall in the few days that he was out at 49ers training camp. The one that I remember the most was the deep ball early in practice from Brock Purdy to Ricky Pearsall for a 60-yard touchdown. He's generated separation when he's been healthy. I like his size. The initial concern about Ricky had been potential lack of size, since he checked in at only 190 pounds at the NFL Combine. I don't think that's an issue. I think that he's got a strong lower body. I think that he should be able to consistently beat press man coverage. He's been a guy that's blocked. He's blocked his ass off. Over the few practices that I got to watch, Ricky Pearsall was away from the ball doing what Kyle Shanahan wants out of his wide receivers. So he's checked the boxes that the 49ers need, except for the durability box, except for the hamstring strain, and now the shoulder injury. San Francisco hopes to have him back, I would think, because he's been working off on the side field by next week. But that's only 2 weeks before the start of the regular season. And that means also that Ricky Pearsall will have not played a single preseason snap before his potential regular season debut. And that, to me, all adds up to him being inactive for week one. Not because of a lack of ability, but because so far there's been a lack of health. You could say a lack of luck on the health front for Ricky Pearsall. But we're going to get to Jacob Cowing in a little bit. That's the 49ers' other drafted wide receiver here in 2024. And Jacob Cowing, even though he also had a hamstring injury that kept him out of part of training camp, has produced much, much more than Ricky Pearsall. So we will wait. If Brandon Ayuk is back by week one, that makes the Ricky Pearsall on the inactive list probability much higher. So I think that they drafted Pearsall as a longer-term solution that would give them more short-term options. That's what he remains on track to be at this point. The injury during training camp has obviously set him back, I would expect, at least as far as integrating with Brock Purdy and integrating with the offense goes. But if this was a longer-term project to begin with, somebody that would be able to take the torch year two and beyond, it's not going to cripple the 49ers offensively at the very start of the year. That being said, they would have rather had him out there at training camp. They are recognizing, I think, the importance of keeping him healthy and protecting him from himself right now. I do see Ricky Pearsall running around on the side field and catching some passes. And I say, well, he doesn't look all that hurt. And I see that and I say, well, okay, if this was a different situation, a veteran player, and this was, you know, week 16 and the 49ers were fighting for a playoff spot, Ricky Pearsall's probably healthy enough to be out of there on the practice field. But if there is a player that you want to bubble wrap and you want to take your time with, it is a rookie wide receiver on a loaded team. He doesn't have to rush back. You can make sure that you get his body right before you expose him to NFL hits, which are a lot more ferocious than college hits, and you want to make sure that you get his career off to a good start. So I think that's where the 49ers are right now with the receiver, Ricky Pearsall. Moving on to Renardo Green. And for the Renardo Green, I'll open up the depth chart. He's their second round pick out of Florida State, because I could zoom in right now on the cornerback position. He's working his way up this depth chart. This is corner. You see here, I have Renardo right behind Isaac Yiadom, but you have Isaac Yiadom, the veteran, shaded in pink. What does that mean? Well, that means that Isaac Yiadom is currently hurt. I think he's also very close to returning. He's got an ankle injury. But Renardo Green was working with the first team today at the final training camp practice. Whenever they went into the nickel package, that meant that Deommodore Lenore slid in from cornerback to the nickelback spot, and Renardo Green entered alongside Ward and Lenore in the secondary. That's a big vote of confidence in Renardo Green, who I think has grown by leaps and bounds over the course of this training camp. Now, this is a guy who led the entire ACC in pass breakups, 13 of them last season. He shut down Malik Nabers twice, his senior season and his junior season. That's a first-round pick out of LSU. Brian Thomas Jr., another first-round pick out of LSU. He faced him on many of the snaps in those two Florida State wins against the Tigers, and he also fared really well. Florida State won both of those games. Speaking of Ricky Pearsall, Renardo Green faced Ricky Pearsall last season, did well against Ricky as well. So Renardo Green is a gamer, and we saw him. We saw him as a gamer on Sunday against the Saints. A pass breakup on an out pattern, a typical NFL route in your initial preseason action, so his second game, really initial preseason action for Renardo Green, a pass breakup against an NFL veteran quarterback is nothing to scoff at, because these are timing routes. These are routes that they run so precisely in the NFL that there's rarely room for a DB to make a play. I thought that Carr threw a little bit late and a little bit behind his receiver, Cedric Wilson, on the play, and that allowed Renardo Green to pounce. But we have to remember that a perfect throw will always beat perfect coverage in the National Football League. So the fact that Renardo Green was ready to pounce and made the play on a slightly imperfect throw, that's a hat tip to him. That was a really good play. If you watch his coverage against Cedric Wilson, it was really good press man one-on-one coverage throughout the entirety of the route. It was an outbreaker at what, about 10 to 14 yards. I forgot exactly how far downfield it was, but it was textbook from Renardo Green. And, you know, today Nick Sorensen talked about it a little bit, the 49ers defensive coordinator. They started Renardo Green at nickel cornerback in the spring program. Then they gave him outside cornerback reps. And then they started cross-training him between nickel and outside cornerback, doing both. The only other guy on the roster that does both is Deommodore Lenore, and he does it at a really high level. But they believed in Renardo Green enough from the very start to cross-train him at both nickelback and outside cornerback. And then there was a week in training camp when they said, okay, just focus on outside cornerback. And I think that was the week where we saw Renardo Green's development turbocharge. And now he's taking snaps with that first team. If you guys remember my scouting report on him, I talked to Adam Fuller, the Florida State defensive coordinator. I talked to Mike Norvell, Florida State's head coach, and I reported back immediately about what I learned about Renardo Green. One of the things that I learned was, because I asked them, you know, I try to ask some of the tougher questions, like why did this guy give up what seemed to be quite a few pass interference penalties last year? And, you know, there was no denial. He gave up what he did give up in terms of penalty flags. But one thing that his coaches told me, and I could ascertain this through my watching of the film at Florida State, is that Renardo Green always bounced back from negative plays, penalty-like plays in college, to deliver on the subsequent snap and subsequent snaps. And that, to me, and to the 49ers, and to the guys at Florida State, is one of the most valuable traits that you can have as a cornerback. The ability to bounce back from negative plays, to not let negative plays drag with you. And that's what Renardo Green was able to do in college for the Florida State Seminoles. He would constantly bounce back, and that's what he's going to need at the NFL level. Now, he was also resilient in another way. They started him at cornerback as a freshman, and then they said, okay, wait, our safety depth isn't where it needs to be. So they moved him to safety as a sophomore and junior. He played 2 years there was safety, and then he played 2 years of corner at the very end. So it might have been his freshman year when he moved to safety. But anyway, it was freshman, safety for 2 years, and then back to corner for two more years. That's not an easy positional roadmap for a college player, especially a guy with NFL aspirations. Safety to corner, or corner to safety, and then back. Not good, right? But now that the 49ers are running Renardo Green at both nickelback and an outside cornerback, which are two significantly different positions, especially for a rookie, Diamante Lenore wasn't doing this till much later in his NFL career. Renardo Green actually credits the cross-training that he got at both safety and corner for being able to run at both nickel and outside corner now. So he's successfully taken a challenge that was given to him in college. These were cards that didn't seem ideal that were dealt to him in college. He's successfully taken those, and he's applied the lessons learned to the success that he's seen with the 49ers now while he's vacillating between those two different positions. And in the larger picture, to reopen this depth chart, you look at the fact that Diamante Lenore is on the final years of his deal. So is Mooney Ward. So is Isaac Yadam. So is Rock Ya-Sin. Renardo Green is the highest up in the pecking order now of the guys that are under contract beyond this season. Maybe you're able to re-sign Diamante Lenore. Maybe you're not. But to have a guy on the roster that can do what he does, play inside and outside, is invaluable regardless, because it provides the 49ers with much-needed adaptable depth. Mike wrote really nice scouting reports on every single one of the 49ers defensive backs. Why don't we read Mike's scouting report on Renardo Green so far? Started playing at nickel corner, but due to injuries to Isaac Yadam, has been moved to playing outside and getting quality reps. Hasn't been perfect, but has shown massive potential. Mike really likes the word massive. Two thumbs up. I like it too. It wouldn't shock me if he ends up being our outside corner when the 49ers are on a nickel or are in a nickel base, shifting Lenore over to nickel. So those are Mike's words. Mike talking about Renardo Green, his punchline here is, it wouldn't shock me if Renardo Green ends up as the 49ers outside corner when they are nickel, shifting Lenore into nickel, which means that Mike thinks that Renardo Green might leapfrog Isaac Yadam at some point in this 2024 season. And I do not disagree with that assessment. Now, it might not happen this year. I think the 49ers would prefer for it to not happen this year. That means Isaac Yadam is playing really good football. But I think their mentality was they signed Yadam as a one-year bridge before Renardo Green was ready. And it really looks like Renardo Green is progressing toward being ready about as fast as the 49ers could have hoped. And that's key at that cornerback position. How about Mike's assessment of Ricky Pearsall? We can read that as well. Has been hurt three times now since OTAs, twice with the shoulder, once with the hamstring, and is currently still dealing with a shoulder injury. Should hopefully be cleared this week, but due to missed time, he will probably start the year out potentially inactive if Brandon Ayuk is back. So Mike shares our thoughts on Ricky Pearsall, that he might start the year, probably will start the year inactive since he's going to miss all of the 49ers preseason. All right, moving forward to the 49ers' third pick. This happened in the third round of the 2024 draft. This is the lineman out of Kansas, Dominic Pooney. Oh, boy, what a player so far. I mean, he's been probably the player of whom people have shared the most tape online for good reason. The pass protection has been stellar. He's disarmed potential quarterback sackers. He's disarmed these pass rushers with his hands, with his anchor, and with his quickness, and with his smarts. Brad Graham showed a great video the other day where Pooney accidentally stepped on Colton McKivitz's foot as he gave a shove. It might have been the Chase Young. It was the defensive end of the Saints. He gave a little bit of a shove, accidentally stepped on McKivitz's foot, which might have disrupted McKivitz a little bit. Pooney had the wherewithal to spin back around, do a full 180 spin back around to pick up the blindside block on the other side of Colton McKivitz. And it's like, and there's a play like that. There's another play where he delivers some help on a free rusher that indicate this guy's already got veteran savvy. I've talked so much about Dominic Pooney from day one because I thought that he carried himself as somebody who looks way more experienced than a rookie. The body is more developed than your typical rookie offensive lineman. He's got the college pedigree under his belt. Not only the pedigree of no sacks given up through 2 years of D1 football, Kansas, that did happen with Pooney, but he's also made a big jump successfully already. Central Missouri, D2 school to D1 Kansas, no problem. Right out of bed, he's the starting tackle at Kansas. They cross-trained him at Kansas between multiple different positions. He played guard, center, and tackle. I think the center was only during the spring game, but he still played there. So when the 49ers drafted Pooney in the third round, they saw a player that was massively adaptable, which is huge at this level. Next week, we're going to have the roster cut down. The 49ers have to go from 90 players down to 53. And when you have to do that, then, well, you better pick linemen that don't just specialize in one position. You better pick guys who are Swiss Army knives. That's how you build an efficient roster. So Pooney showed the 49ers that he could fill in anywhere from the very get-go. They've chosen to put him in there at right guard. He's gotten first-team reps throughout almost all of practice. Now, injuries have been critical in securing these first-team reps for Pooney, but his great play is what has kept him along that first team. Aaron Banks is hurt at left guard. Spencer Burford has been hurt at right guard. That allowed Pooney to unseat him. I put John Feliciano down on IR already here, so I no longer have him on the 53 or the 90 man. He technically is on the 49ers 90 man. They haven't made the IR designation yet. They're probably going to designate him to return because offensive linemen are valuable, but Feliciano also hurt. The Feliciano and Burford injuries opened the door for Dominic Pooney to grab that first team right guard spot. And so far he has not relinquished it. What's been especially impressive to me is Dominic Pooney's ability to run block. The 49ers were really clear from day one that this guy is a better pass blocker than a run blocker, which, by the way, was a departure from previous trends. The 49ers had gone after better run blockers than pass blockers, but I think now that you've got Brock Purdy at quarterback and you really need to protect him for the long term and you've started passing more than you've been running with Brock Purdy at quarterback because he is an MVP finalist, you better focus on that pass protection. So despite the fact that Dominic Pooney has a reputation of being a stronger pass blocker than run blocker, he's been a damn good run blocker so far through the preseason. That's what most of the clips are showing us. It's showing really good pull blocking action from Dominic Pooney over the course of the games against Tennessee and then in against the New Orleans Saints. We can see what Mike wrote about Dominic Pooney here. I need to make this bigger. Text is a little small for me to read. Here it is. Has been the 49ers' most impressive rookie, Mike said. With Trent Williams holding out, Pooney has already shown himself to be the best pass-blocking lineman. Due to injuries to Burford and Feliciano, he has been able to handle all the first-team reps all camp. He should be a lock to start at right guard from day one and likely ends up being the best interior offensive linemen on the team, which isn't saying much, end quote. Not my words. Those are Mike's words. Congratulations to Mike, doing a good job writing this. Best interior lineman on the team, not saying much. Do I agree with that assessment? I might. I think Aaron Banks, who's entering his contract year, was not a great pass protector last year. They like his quickness off the line. Jake Brendel had a down year. He was the starting center. And if Pooney's the 49ers' best option at right guard over, you know, the other last year starter, Spencer Burford, or John Feliciano, the veteran, or Ben Bartsch, another one of the veterans, well, then he already has one position taken care of. It's apples and oranges to compare that to center, but it's a fair comparison to left guard. And Aaron Banks, who's broken his pinky, if he doesn't take a step up in pass protection and Dominic Pooney's out there delivering top half or better pass protection, then yeah, you'll be able to say that he is the 49ers' best interior offensive lineman. We move forward to Malik Mustafa. Fourth round now. Mustafa has been awesome for the 49ers. Anytime you wear a Ronnie Lott jersey to a 49ers game, you're going to endear yourself to 49ers fans. We're going to have to get this up here. I've written an article on Malik Mustafa, and it was on Renardo Green too, but Mustafa is the headlining picture. So here you go. Sharing the screen. There he is. That's not the Ronnie Lott jersey. That's the 43 for Malik Mustafa, but the Ronnie Lott jersey was worn to this game. This is what it looked like. This is what a really, really good way to endear yourself to 49ers fans. Malik Mustafa was able to do that. That's him talking at his locker following the game. He has some great coverage plays already in training camp. He, I think, is extremely adaptable. We already saw that at Wake Forest from Malik. They called it the Panther package. He was all over the field for Wake Forest. He has 4.4 something speed. It's under 4.5, despite being built, as you can see there, like a ball of muscle. It's more of a mini linebacker size. I mean, everything that's there about Malik Mustafa, I think you've got to like from a physical standpoint. The fact that he can be a hybrid player for the 49ers is there. And now he's just got to deliver against first teams, against offenses that are game planning for the 49ers defense and for him. And that's why he's probably not going to see the field as one of the top two safeties to begin the season unless somebody gets hurt. But he can integrate into the fold as the 49ers' third safety as time goes along. So that's Malik Mustafa. Good start for him. He was already directing traffic for the 49ers in that game against the Titans. He actually worked out with Renardo Green ahead of the draft down in Broward County in Florida. So he told me that they already developed that chemistry that we saw on the field in Tennessee. Mustafa barking orders from the back end, helping out Renardo Green to be in the right positioning on the front end of the defense at that cornerback position. And Renardo says that the opposite has also been true, that he's tipped off Malik Mustafa to when he needs to come over the top on plays, and that the two have not missed a beat. So is this the future of the 49ers secondary to replenish the roster? This is a great example of exactly where a talented draft class can help replenish a restocked roster. The secondary down the pipe is that great example. Well, Malik Mustafa and Renardo Green have certainly been doing a good job to start. Let's look at Mike's evaluation. Mustafa has been a rock-solid safety who's been bringing the heat. He has been perfect, but has shown he has coverage. He hasn't been perfect, but has shown he has coverage skills. I think he starts the year as the third safety, will be used in different roles on defense, being able to move around similarly to how the 49ers used Hufanga his rookie season. Hufanga was the third safety for San Francisco. His versatility was indeed a prized asset. Moving on, later in the fourth round, Isaac Garendo, the running back out of Louisville. Maybe we bring back Garendo's relative athletic score. Mike, do you have that? If you have the relative athletic score page for Isaac Garendo, I'm going to use it here because this guy was an athletic freak coming out of college, and I think that the 49ers are really, really excited about the potential that he brings from a size speed standpoint. It looked like he shot out of a cannon the other day after he returned from the hamstring injury. Now, we haven't seen Guerrero for most of camp, and I'm extremely intrigued to see what he looks like on Friday against the Raiders. And I'll show you why. Because this right here, Isaac Guerrero's athleticism profile, that from the relative athletic score that I'm about to pop open on the screen, is one of the more impressive things that you will ever see from a metrics standpoint. Remember, you want to be in the green. Green is good in these relative athletic scores. That means that you're further above average. Take a look at that. 9.98, which is elite, the raw score, the entire relative athletic score. It's got good height, good weight, 221 pounds. You know, he's running a 4.33 40 at 221, which is exceptional. Really fast shuttle, really fast three cone. Remember, this guy was a receiver coming out of high school before they converted him to running back in college. 49ers believe they might have gotten a raw prospect that still has a lot of untapped potential in Isaac Guerrero. And I think they might be right. I just don't know if they're right at this point. I do know that this is an extremely impressive relative athletic score. So keep an eye on Guerrero. We haven't had a chance to evaluate him thoroughly because of the hamstring injury. I will say that he does need to avoid hamstring injuries because he suffered two of those before suffering this one with the 49ers. He suffered two of those in college. Mike's take on Guerrero: hurt his hamstring significantly at the first practice of training camp and hadn't been seen until very recently since. He might be cleared to practice this week, and he was. So Mike wrote this a couple of days ago. But due to his raw running back background, it's hard to him having any role this year. His best opportunity for playing time is as a kick returner, where his speed could be an asset. We'll see what happens, but he might also start the year on injured reserve. Well, Mike wrote this a couple days ago. That's no longer going to be true. No IR start unless Guerrero gets hurt. I think that you knock on wood, stay healthy. And now we're going to get to see if the 49ers can develop his raw skill set. That moves us to Jacob Cowing, who has been awesome for San Francisco. Hamstring injury early in camp has turned on the Jets, and he's got Jets. He's able to hit over, I've said this so many times in the past few days, as Cowing a surge. He has hit over 15 miles an hour over the first 5 yards of his 40-yard dash. That is impressive. We saw him on the jet sweep. We saw him on the deeper pass from Josh Dobbs. I think he's the 49ers' favorite to be the punt returner. Returned, I think, 18 punts at Arizona over the course of his college career. Today, Cowing caught a corner out for a touchdown, deep corner out from Tanner Mordecai. This might end up being like the 49ers running backs classes, at least early on, because of the Pearsall injury. But the 49ers have always taken a running back in like the third round and then taken a running back later on in the draft or undrafted free agency. And it's typically, more often than not, been the lower round guy or the undrafted guy that has outplayed the third round guy. Do we have a similar dynamic in the running back room this year? We shall see. Cowing, according to Mike, hurt his hamstring in camp and returned 2 weeks ago. Has been impressive daily in practice. Played finally versus the Saints, and you can see the playmaking speed that everyone is using him to compare him to Tank Dell. To me, he will have a bigger impact on the offense over Pearsall. That's what Mike said. Also should end up with the punt returner role, which will make him active on game days. Yes. And I think he's thicker than Ray-Ray McCloud, Cowing is, which might make him more versatile than Ray-Ray McCloud within the context of the offense. Then there's Jarrett Kingston, the 49ers' sixth-round pick at line. 61 snaps so far, one pressure allowed for Jarrett Kingston. The 49ers focused on the short shuttle with their offensive lineman. Kingston was the fifth fastest. That got my tongue tied. Kingston was the fifth fastest offensive lineman in the draft or at the combine. And the short shuttle, Dominic Pooney, was the third. They want guys who can quickly shuffle from side to side to better their pass protection and also to be good run blockers. Kingston had that good short shuttle time, 4.47. And so far, he's played some tackle. He's played some guard. He's played mainly guard. That's where the 49ers project him. And he has impressed. Over the two games, only one pressure given up, over 61 pass blocking snaps. Mike thinks that Kingston has been the biggest surprise. He's looked very solid. Mike believes he's a lock to make the 53 and should potentially compete for the left guard spot next year when Aaron Banks likely walks in free agency. Yes, and maybe Kingston gets some time now. Maybe he gets some time sooner at that position. Finally, that was a sixth-round pick. The final draft pick for the 49ers is Tatum Bethune. This guy was a tackle machine in college. He's been a tackle machine for the 49ers, led the team against the Saints. He's not great in coverage. He's got tight hips. But he's not afraid to take somebody's head off. I mean, this is a guy that has the fearlessness that you want out of an enforcer linebacker. And that's great for the 49ers. Now, can Tatum Bethune develop into a slightly better cover man? We'll see. He's competing for at least a practice squad spot on this team, and the 9 tackles the other day definitely did not hurt his case. The top undrafted free agent, we could talk about him. Then I got to get going. Cody Schrader from Missouri. He led the SEC in rushing last year. Kyle Shanahan seems to be happy with Cody Schrader. I need to see this final preseason game. And maybe even then it's going to be hard to identify because you never know how the blocking is in front of a running back. The 49ers seem happy with him. The workload has remained constant. Can he crack the 53-man roster? It's going to be tough with all these healthy running backs in front of him. That was one of the bigger takeaways from today. Mitchell, Garendo, Patrick Taylor Jr. all back. So somebody like Cody Schrader might have to settle for a practice squad spot if something like that is open. All right, there you go. We didn't have to talk about Trent Williams or Brandon Ayuk. That's a win. This is a breakdown of the entire 49ers 2024 draft class. I'll do all the undrafted free agents, check in on their progress very, very soon.